Well, it is fun to be able to come and share with you guys a little bit of update. One of the main reasons why I wanted to come was because I send out email prayer requests every 3 weeks or so, something like that, maybe every 4 weeks, every 2 weeks, depending on things going on. But I send them out, and almost every time I can count on Pastor Dan emailing me back saying, "We just prayed for you tonight. We'll be sure to pray for you. We'll lift this up. It's encouragement to hear." And so this continual encouragement to know that he's praying for me, you guys are praying for me. And I know you're getting updates through emails and things like that and things he shares, but I wanted to at least take a few minutes while I was in the area and come and thank you guys for playing a role in everything that's going on in Indiana, and maybe give you a little more stories to share what's happened over the last few years. And so I am so thankful for people like you that are so committed to praying for the things going on up there. I know that I'm not walking around on campus just wondering what's going to happen. I'm walking into good works that God has prepared in advance for us. If you do remember, I'd love to just backtrack for a second and remind you. I came to saving faith in Christ as a student at Murray State. And so that's where all this stuff started for me. I grew up in Hopkinsville, so not far that way. And I think that way. Am I pointing the right way? But it all came together for me in college. And as a fraternity brother actually shared the gospel with me. And he was a believer, and he joined the fraternity because he wanted to, you know, be able to share his faith in areas and really give his life in a place that would influence and see light shed. And he looked at our fraternity, like most of the fraternities around most colleges, and saw it's a group of passionate young men giving their lives to nothing. And that's what we were doing. We were passionately chasing things, but we didn't really have any direction to where we were going. You know, he joins the fraternity. His life is drastically different. We think he's just some kind of super Christian pastor, preacher kind of guy. But as I sit down with him and become a friend with him, I realize that he actually talks about knowing God. When he opens a Bible, he understands it. He seems to refer back to it often. He seems to really love God, love people. And I start to see something that to me was just odd. I never really had been around that. And a few months into it, I start to realize it's because he really is a believer. He's come to faith in Christ. And eventually I get around some of his friends and hear that there's many people like him that have this life that's been changed by Christ and actually desire to know him and understand his word and want to know it. And so as all this was coming together for me, it finally dawned up on me that I had believed intellectually in a Jesus and a God, and had on my own power tried to live up to moral standards that the Bible might lay out, but I never had seen my utter desperate need for a Savior to call out to him and surrender to trust him. And so therefore my life had never been changed by him. And so it was that time, my sophomore year of college, that I did put my faith in Christ, and the same thing happened to me. My life was changed. And as he started changing me, my desires changed, and my direction in my life changed as well. And when I came to college, I studied political science. That's what I was majoring in, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go into law and politics, and so that was the direction of my life. But you know, since Christ had entered in, he starts to shift it a little bit more. I never remember a time calling me and saying, "This is not a profession worth pursuing." I was still interested in that, graduated, did well in school, took the LSAT to go to law school. But it was my senior year that my burden had been growing for life on life, just being with people. Because as I would look around the school classrooms and other places I was, I could see so many people, students just like me, that were blindly going through life, thinking they had the answers, and really missing most of them. Because I had gone to church when I was little, and so I thought I had all that stuff figured out. I thought I knew all that. And, you know, if you backtrack even a little bit more, the very first day of college for me at Murray State, two students that were involved with campus outreach shared the gospel with me the very first day, and I completely blew them off because I told them, "I know all that. I'm good. I don't need to hear any more of this. I've already taken care of this years ago," and I was completely lost. And so, but it was 2 years later when someone was in my life and I could actually see the difference, that suddenly things started to trigger for me that there was something going on here. Anyway, pull that together of what I'm trying to say. That my senior year, I started seeing, unless there is that incarnational approach of, you know, Christ manifesting himself through a loving expression of a person that's living a different life, caring about an individual, for most people, they won't even begin to consider what's going on. They've heard enough. They think they have the answers. But it's the person that changes things for them. And so as I'm understanding that, my burden is growing because there's so many people I see that don't really understand. And so my senior year, I decided, I don't necessarily know if I'm going to go into ministry. I'm definitely interested in ministry. But at this point, I'm really interested in being trained. Wherever God is sending me, whether it's through law or government or something else He may change, I want to know how to reach out to people when people come to Christ. I want to know how to disciple them and help them grow. And so I ended up taking a year or two off from that kind of thing and basically be discipled and grown by a campus outreach staff member. And what actually happened for that, they were starting a ministry at Arkansas State in Jonesboro, Arkansas. It's only about 3 hours from here. And so I just got a part-time job as a server and spent time starting a ministry with them and being led by some campus outreach staff men, understanding how do you actually interact with these kind of people? How do you help people understand the gospel and grow? And in that first year and a half doing that, I realized that this was a great fit for me for the time. I was fresh out of college, so I still looked like a college student. Strangely enough, 10 years later, 8 years later, I almost still look like a college student somehow. I still look really young for my age. And so, seeing that there's a fit, I have a passion for it, it's a good time, even if I spent 4 or 5 years doing this and then go on to my profession, it's not a sacrifice, it's a good window of opportunity time to invest. So I did make the decision in 2002 to come on staff full-time with Campus Outreach, and had more people coming in. And that's the time I think I even came through here. Somewhere between 2002 and 3 is when I came through here last and saw you guys. At that point, I was called. Basically, they were getting ready to start a ministry in a new area. We had grown out of this area. There was a lot of people like me coming around. They wanted to go somewhere else where there was nothing going on similar to this. And so we looked at several areas. We were looking at Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio. We get a call from a pastor in Indianapolis says, hey, come up here and check out our city. There's a lot of campuses. So we end up moving up there. We check it out for a weekend. We decide to go with it. I moved up there fall 2002, and we were just going to scope it out and see, investigate the campuses that fall. I was spending time at IUPUI, which is the campus I end up at, which is Indiana University, Purdue University in Indianapolis. It's two satellite campuses that combine together. Now there's 30,000 students there. And so for anyone not from Indiana, it feels like that's the strangest name in the world, IUPUI. It's way too many letters. Sorry. And it is too many letters, but it's the two satellite campuses that combine. But it's a major, it's the third largest university in the state, 30,000. And so at first I was spending time there at Butler University, at Franklin College. It's a small private school, University of Indianapolis. There were four schools there that were just running around, meeting people, sharing the gospel, trying to feel out, spiritually discern what's going on somewhere. Halfway through that first year, really found as we were at IUPUI that something was going on there. You know, it was the last campus on our list of priorities. We basically went there because people in the city and with some of the churches that we were getting to know there said, you need to go to IUPUI, it's a large campus. You need to go over there and check it out, it's a large campus. But it's a commuter campus, it's 98% commuter. And so you're talking about less than 1,000 students live on campus. Everyone lives at home with their mom, this direction, that direction, 40 minutes this way, an hour that way, 20 minutes this way. So as far as a campus nucleus of actually finding people, it's very difficult. It's nothing like what we do. It's nothing like what we do. We go to colleges where there's lots of on-campus activity. There's sports that keep people around. There's Greek systems that keep people around. And then we just kind of jump into those pockets of people. You know, that's one of the reasons why we do college ministry, because there's pockets of people always gathering. And we can just walk into them and be accepted. But on this campus, you don't have that as much. And so we thought, there's no way we would want to build something there. But halfway through that year, just start to find that as I would share the gospel with people, there were people interested. And as we would start to talk, people would want to come around and do things and really found that there's nothing like this going on that campus. And so basically decided that year, we'll never really understand if we can build something on a campus like this unless we just commit to it. If we just try a little bit, given its difficult circumstances, its dynamics being so different, we'll go a year or two and probably fail and just have a little bit going on and feel like, well, it's the campus's fault, not our fault, or not God's fault. It's just a bad campus. But we decided if we really give everything we got to this campus for a year or two, then we can really say with a clear conscience, okay, we can or can't build on a campus like this. So we jumped in. And when I say we jumped in, really I jumped in. My boss told me to jump in, so it was we that jumped in. But I was the only staff member there. Basically, for the last five years, I was the only. There's someone that come around a semester or two and help out a little bit, but no one full time on campus on the around with me. So we jump in that year, that year also meet my wife, and we're married. The next year we meet through the church there. If you guys don't know the story, ask her. It's funny. She had just graduated from Ball State and moved back into town and was connecting with this church and was coming to this small group, fellowship group with all married couples and was excited because she could just grow and focus, not worry about anything else because it was a safe circumstance or a safe situation. And the first time the group meets, I show up and she's all frustrated because there's a single guy that just graduated from college in her group that she thought she was just going to go there and grow and not to think about boys or guys or anything like that. And you know, a year later, I marry her. And so God had different plans completely for that, and I'm real thankful for God bringing us, bringing up there for that. But to backtrack, to go back to that, that first year, basically it was a year just figuring out the city, figuring out IUPUI, figuring out even the churches. There's a couple churches that were helping us up there, and we found a place that really settled, that was going to take care of us and shepherd us, and really felt like that first year, figured out some of the dynamics of IUPUI, some of the things you're going to have to do to make something happen here. Came back the second year with a strategy, and our whole mission statement, if you have your Bibles, let's actually turn to a couple of verses. This is a couple of perspectives that we were running with the whole time. The first one would be in Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38. Matthew 9:36-38. And the Gospels are speaking about Jesus. A lot of things have been going on right around here, just like usual. He says, when he, Jesus, saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, for they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. You've probably studied this passage before or heard messages. It's a common message or a common passage to hear people teach on. But, you know, it starts with Jesus is just looking out and he sees the people. When he looks, he sees them. And if his heart really was engaged, his eyes really were looking at them, he saw them as they are. They were harassed and helpless, sheep without a shepherd. You know, so often for us, we look, but we're not really seeing. We just see people walking around. And when we're looking with clear eyes to spiritually discern, we see harassed and helpless, sheep without a shepherd, whether it's, you know, somewhere in Trigg County or Hopkinsville or Indianapolis, a college campus or somewhere else. It's just harassed, helpless, sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus' answer at that point wasn't to go out there and fix it, even though he could. You know, he was the answer. He was the solution. But his answer to this, even though he was racked with compassion, so it's not like he didn't care or he didn't see, he saw and really did care. And his answer was to go back to his disciples and bring their attention to this and show them, do you see this? The harvest is plentiful. There's so many people out there, but there's few laborers. There's just not very many people out there to actually go and do the work, to be the shepherd for them, to share the gospel with them, to help them grow. So therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest, me, is what he's saying, to send out more laborers. And that's the need today. That was what we're convinced of with Campus Outreach. What we're trying to do as an arm of the church is that there's a need for more laborers, and the harvest is still plentiful everywhere. You know, I don't specifically love the college campus more than any other part of the world. I just see that it's a strategic place for me to invest my efforts to help laborers go to all the world. And so it's no more important than any other part. It's just a place to help to get to all the other places. It's one place you can hit that actually trickles into all the others. And so that's why we go there. We go there praying to the Lord, just like it says, pray to the Lord to send out more laborers into the harvest field. And so in that first year at IUPUI, our first 2 years, that was our prayer, that God would raise up and send out laborers into the harvest field because the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. Another verse that I'd love to take your attention to is 2 Timothy 2. If you would flip over there for a moment. It's a little flipping, but it's always more helpful when you actually read the verse instead of just hear it. It seems to stick with us a little more. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1 and 2, as you know, this is Paul's final letter to his most faithful man, Timothy, who had worked with him in church planning and ministry, all kinds of things. There's so many times that Paul speaks highly of Timothy's integrity and his trust, how much he can entrust him with. And this is his final letter as he's facing death coming up soon. It's his last words to tell his faithful man. And if you look at chapter 2, he comes here and says this, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the graces in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And that's the other principle that we're building everything we're doing. If you look, how did Timothy learn the things that he was supposed to be passing on? He learned by being in the presence of Paul as he was teaching others. As you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses. So Timothy had learned by seeing Paul preach, teach, instruct, correct, deal with hard circumstances, run from hard circumstances, pray with people. He learned by doing it with them. He says, all these things you've learned by being with me, now it's time for you to find some other reliable or faithful, depending on what translation you have, other reliable or faithful men to go with you who will learn by being with you, but make sure you're picking some of those that can take other men with them, who can then take other men with them, who can take other men with them. And so that's what we're trying to do up there. What we continue to try and do, we're not trying to create a college ministry. We're not just trying to have some Bible studies on campus, and we're not even trying to reach to campus for Christ. We're not trying to do something like that, though those are good things. Our chief thing is what we're trying to do is see the laborers built up, which means people who can come along with us, who can learn by being with us, so that when they leave, they can take other men or women with them. They can learn by seeing them, share their faith, read their Bible, love their neighbor, can take others with them, we can take others with them. So it really is a multiplying effect. We just view the college campus as such a great opportunity because people have more free time than they ever do the rest of their life. They think they're busy, but they realize when they graduate that they weren't busy. Most of them. Some people are a little busier than others, but they have so much free time, and we can really bring them along with us to see us do things, and they can learn the traits to do the same thing with others for the rest of their life. And so, that's what we've been trying to do. And so, first year or two, that's what's happening. We're meeting a few people are coming to Christ, training them up. But as they are maturing in their faith, you're seeing that they're starting to do the same thing with other people. They're seeing other people come to saving faith in Christ. And then they're learning, how do I help this person grow? And then they're learning how to grow. And so the whole idea would be, if it's really happening, things should progressively be growing in depth and breadth as you go. If we're really doing what we're doing, the people should be more mature in their faith. And as they're more mature in their faith, you should see them start to influence people around them and see other people come to Christ. And as they come, then they would be the same way. And so just a couple pictures of, numbers, because that gives you a picture of that. Starting there, year one, one of our biggest things that we have going on is our summer project. We have a summer project in Florida where it's a 10-week project where students will commit to coming down. They get full-time jobs for the summer, but then they're learning how to study their Bible in depthly. They're learning how to share their faith. They're learning how to walk with God. They're learning how to deal with, just relational things, because they live in a room with four or five other people. And this basically is a spiritual boot camp, is what we would consider it. It's a high intense training program that we're doing for summer. The first summer after we started the ministry at IUPUI, there were three students on a project like that. And we were excited about that there's anybody that would come follow us and want to be doing something like that. And so year one, we have three. This summer, there's 60 from our campus that have committed their whole summer to being down there. And so we're blown away that something like that could happen on a commuter campus that, doesn't have the dynamics that anything else have. And so in the sense of that, there's 60 there. There were six that spent their summer in South Africa sharing the gospel on a college campus. There's a couple students that spent part of their summer in China sharing the gospel with college students, and then other miscellaneous things going on as well. That's one picture of how the thing has grown as people are sharing their faith and people are being grown up. Not only that, but in this last year and a half, Campus Outreach Indianapolis as an area, which is three campuses, there's IUPUI, Indiana State, which is in Terre Haute, and then University of Southern Indiana, which is in Evansville, which is a little closer to here, actually. Those three campuses, in the last year and a half, we've hired 16 graduates to come on staff with us. This is the first phase of that. 16, and we're seeing them go out everywhere. There's nurses and teachers and people in different business ventures or things doing it. People going to seminary. A few people doing other kind of ministries that they're working with. But in this last, first 5 or 6 years, because that really is the window. If you're really doing this, it takes 4 or 5 years to start seeing people graduate and leave, And so the first 5 years, 5.5 years into it, was our first big wave of people starting to graduate. And in that, 16 graduates have come on staff with us full-time in the last year and a half, which is pretty exciting, which basically has left us with the issue of there's, you know, there used to just be me on the campus. You know, at the end of this year, there were five of us full-time staff on the campus, which some people would say, that's great. You know, you got so many, now you can do so much more. But we think, no, there's more opportunity out there. You know, if one person can do this job, probably isn't best to have one. We need two, three, something like that. We don't need five or six, though. And so what it's done for us is it's pushed us out to, we need to look around because there's still more harvest fields that are filled with people that are harassed and helpless, and so there's just more opportunity. And so actually this next fall we're expanding to two new campuses that we haven't been on before. We're expanding to Purdue University and Butler University. I don't know if you're familiar with those. Purdue is not the Purdue that we're at, but it's the real campus. We're the satellite campus of Purdue. We're finally trickling ourselves back to the main campus of Purdue. And then Butler University actually is in Indianapolis. It's right there in the city with IUPUI. It's a private school, around 4,000 students. If you like college basketball, you've heard their name. In the last 3 or 4 years, they've gotten some attention for that. But we're going there to these two campuses because we have more people. And that was always our vision, that as we were doing this, we're going to start at a couple campuses, but if we start and just focus and pour into the few, it's going to take you to the more, and that will take you to more. A more exciting thing than that for me is the fact that starting this next fall, four of our five main campuses, so IUPUI, Indiana State, the new one Purdue, and the new one Butler, will all be led by people who have come to Christ since we've come to Indiana. And so it's a good picture as you guys study or pray for missionaries to other countries. It's always the goal is to tramp the nationals to do it for themselves. It's not so that the Americans come and stay there the whole time and do everything for them, but you want to see the people raised to maturity so you can hand it over to them. And so it's the same thing for us. That's what we want. You know, it's Indiana's nationals aren't that different than Kentucky nationals, but you know, still it's the idea that we don't want to just be there and just keep doing the same thing over and over. But as we're sending people out into the world and to different marketplace jobs, we also are hoping that some are qualified to do the same thing, could take over where we are. And so this next fall we're transitioning IUPUI into some the hands of some students that come to Christ there. The Butler expansion is going on by a guy that came to Christ at Indiana State. The Purdue expansion is having a few people from different campuses that have come to Christ, and Indiana State is being handed over to one as well. We're pretty excited to be in that day. Therefore, that means for me, my role is changing this year because I've just been doing the same thing over and over, and I still don't exactly understand the specifics of my role because I've been doing the same thing for 7 years, and I just know, get up, study my Bible, make plans, and go be with students, share the gospel, see if I'm help this person grow. But everything's changing. Not everything, but some things are changing. My role will be overseeing the IUPUI thing as it's being handed over. I'm handing it over to, actually, there's four staff to go and take over. There's two men and two women because the movement's grown that big. We feel like that there's room for that. It's the largest movement on any of our campuses that we're at, and so we want to put it in good hands. So I'm handing it over, so I'm trying to learn how to do that to usher in the new thing, and which we feel like is extremely important because given the nature of our campus, it is unique, and so it's taken a lot of figuring out. For me, just to jump ship and throw it to someone, there's a good chance it could just stumble, and the things that's taken so long to get started could fall. And so my hand being in there is imperative to keep the thing, and not just staying the same, but really going on to new heights. So we have hired people from that university. So if anyone has an understanding of it, they do. They were students there. They've seen it grow. They were there from the beginning when there was nothing going on. They've seen it grow to what it is. What's pretty exciting to me is I had a picture I'd love to show you. A prayer thing I sent you guys 4 or 5 years, probably 5 years ago. The two men that are taking over is a man named Deepak Jacob, which is an Indian guy from Indianapolis, and then a guy named Stephen Smith, which is an African-American guy from Atlanta. And I met them the day they moved in as freshmen in the dorm in 2004. And they came to Christ that year. And later that spring, I sent you guys an email or a newsletter sometime with a picture of those two guys and the other guy with a Bible study I had started. You know, they were just freshmen guys that loved the Lord. And they knew each other, but they weren't great friends. But at that point, I was thinking, okay, you're really hungry and pursuing Christ, and you're really hungry. I need to help you guys get together because you'll help each other because they're friends were lost and not really helping them very much. And so that was like that first effort of really getting them together. In the last 3 years, they've grown immensely in their own faith and in their friendship. They're best friends. And now they're at a point where they're taking over the thing. And man, I can't say enough about those two guys that are doing that. And it's also exciting for us to think about with our campus, since it is an urban university. It's a pretty diverse campus. I mean, it's still predominantly Caucasian, Indiana students, but there's international students, a larger population of African Americans, and that such. And so it's exciting to be in a day where I came there to just plant the thing I started, but the next phase of it will be led by a more diverse staff team even. And so if you think about this, influence works easier that way. I can influence different people, but it's always easier for you to influence people that you have similar background and experiences of. And so we're excited to think about on our diverse campus what can happen this next 4 or 5 years, as you have one of our staff girls, one's an African-American staff girl that's coming from our campus, and one is a white girl from Southern Indiana. And so it's exciting to think about the potentials of that as well. So my new role, though, will be helping to change that, helping these students take over and take the IUPUI campus to something new. And then I'll be also helping the Butler expansion. Thankfully, my house is located geographically exactly halfway between the two campuses. I'm 2.5 miles from one and 2.5 miles from the other, which in the history of campus outreach, I think may be the only time it's ever happened. Typically, we have to drive hours from campus to campus because for some reason we just pick campuses that are far from each other. But somehow I have, by God's grace and providence, stumbled upon two campuses that are less than 3 miles from my house. And so we're excited to start this expansion and see what could happen there. It was actually the campus that we wanted to go to when we first moved to Indianapolis. It was the one that caught our eye the most because of the dynamics of the campus. I mean, it's a super involved student body. Everyone does things. Everyone lives on campus. We didn't end up going there in the beginning because Campus Crusade for Christ was there, and we feel like we do different things than they do. However, they had a large movement. They were having 250 to 300 people at their weekly meetings. They had 7 full-time staff on their campus of 4,000. And so everywhere we went, we would bump into their staff. And so regardless of differences of things we think we do, we felt they're doing it. I mean, they're all over it, and they're doing good things. So there's no need for us to push our way in. They changed their strategy a year or two later. They have no full-time staff on the campus now. Their staff just come one day a week and meet with a few people. And so, unfortunately, the last few years, the breadth of their ministry has really changed. And so, and we've been watching it because we know people that go there. We have people, their soccer coach goes to our church. We have relations there. And have found now there's a huge window of opportunity that there's like a gospel presence missing in a large part of that campus. And so we're still not going to just bombard and come in with 6 staff, come in with 2. But we really do feel like it's a campus that has so much potential, and there is much more room now. So we look forward to seeing what can happen with that. My role will be changing to do those things. While it changes like that, it's still so much similar, though. It's still focused on the training of a few. Just like from the very beginning, you reach a few and train a few, I'm still training a few. They're just 5 years older with a lot more responsibility now. But on this side, and what our heart is for what we do is we never lose the grassroots. And so I'm still discipling another generation of men. A year ago, while all those guys are getting ready to graduate, by God's providence, I bumped into another generation of guys that came to Christ. And so there were 6 men as freshmen. 4 of them came to Christ. 2 of them were believers that hooked in. Really neat stories. One of them literally lived off campus. He was a believer, struggling and at school, and just not being able to find anything because our campus is very hard to get connected. Literally, on a night, he calls his mom because he comes from a great family. Something that I would think similar here when I hear about the things going on here, that this is the kind of family, you know, this is the kind of child coming from there. Calls his mother and says, "Hey, would you please pray that I would, you know, find some believers on this campus or find something to connect with because I'm not finding anything." The very next night, we're getting ready to have one of our evangelistic meetings. There's a few minutes to kill before it started. I just decided to go walk and pray for a few minutes to clear my mind. Sat down on a picnic table. As I'm sitting down at this picnic table, this student walks up and starts reading a bulletin board, which doesn't happen very often. And I think to myself, should I meet him? Well, I only got like 2 minutes. I shouldn't. And I thought, well, it never hurts to just say hey. I meet people all the time. I'll just say hey to him. Start talking to him for a couple of minutes. He's not doing anything. I ask him, "Hey, you want to come with me to this thing over here?" He's like,
yeah, actually, I was looking for some kind of ministry. I didn't know if there was any around. So I was like, hey, come on with me. And it blows us away. I've been spending time with him ever since. And the night before he prayed, and then two people out of 30,000 happened to be sitting at a picnic table at the same time the very next day. It's been neat to see this man's faith grow and how he's being used to influence others. And another one of those stories of those six was a student that we met, we were sharing with, and we didn't really know what was going on with him, so I finally set up a lunch appointment with him to try to really get in deeper with him, because I get in one-on-one where you can really get some conversation, go to the lunch appointment with him, and he brings two of his friends. And so my initial response was, oh gosh, you know, this is his defense. You know, he knew I'm the campus minister, and if he sits down across the table with me, I'm going to start asking some piercing questions. So he brought his friends, so we really couldn't get there. But the funny thing, his friends were warmer to me than he was. And so his friends connected really warmly to me. I told him about a retreat we were getting ready to have where we're going to have a flag football tournament. And they both love sports, so they committed to going to retreat pretty much on the spot and reluctantly brought him to come too. All three of those guys ended up coming to Christ within the next 2 months. They never really understood the gospel. And so, and then one of them had a friend that really was a believer. And so he connects as well. So anyway, it's kind of a neat story for where these guys came from. All six of those guys, you know, anyway, connected last year. This is a year and a half ago, really. Went to the summer project together last year. So from their freshman year, committed going down there, growing. And really came back this year. It was kind of there's a vacuum of leadership since, like I said, we were graduating all these people. They're coming out of staff, raising support, going to the work world. And these sophomore guys really stepped up and took the ministry, you know, as far as leading and serving up on their shoulders. And so they found a house because they want to live together, because so many of our students do try to live together. Found a house as close to campus as we've ever found before. And people were just coming and going from their house all year long. They wanted lost people over their house. They wanted believers over their house. They wanted to be together so they could grow and unity and really help each other grow as men. And so they've been helping each other grow. People have been coming in and out. You know, between the six of them, they saw a good handful of people come to Christ. They're all back down. Well, five of the six are back down on the project this summer being trained as leaders, and look forward to the next 2 years, what we can do with them. So I say all that to say there's the training of the staff and the expansion of the two new campuses, but at the same time, there's still the joy of training up another group. So we always want my hands investing our life into a few people who 2 or 3 years from now will graduate and go somewhere else and take some more with them. The final exciting thing I would say that comes from all of this is that another thing that's happening within this next year, there's the first phase, I guess you could say the first phase, of a church plant actually coming from this. We're under the authority of a church that's on the north end in a suburb of Indianapolis, and our pastor has a passion for church planting. Since he's come to Indianapolis, he's kind of helped bring other people in, do things to plant four other churches in our city in different parts, and so he's always had a heart for that. A few years ago, a guy that was on staff with Campus Outreach and helped start half of the Indiana thing, was on staff for a couple, 2 or 3 years, really felt the call to pastoring, pastoral ministry, and so went to seminary at Covenant Theological Seminary in St. Louis. He's been going there for the last 3 years. He graduates in December. And the idea has come up in just the last year that as we're graduating all these people, and many of them are coming back to Indianapolis, there's already a hub or maybe a foundation for church plant, because they're living all over, not necessarily in the north end of the city. So the idea was, what if there's another part of the city over here that we don't have a church like this in? What if we started inviting some of those graduates to start going to a church there and bring back this guy that they already have a relationship with to pastor it? It's happening. He's graduating. And our church is bringing him back to help start this here. We know our graduates will jump on quickly. It's not particularly supposed to be a church just for Campus Outreach graduates, but it just makes sense if you've got the nucleus already there. And what church planner wouldn't like to walk into 40 familiar faces working in a city into different networks of, you know, areas there in that city in a community that's not as church in a way like this? And so this December, that guy graduates and comes in there. And so it's still a year and a half process of getting us off the road or off the ramp. But we're excited to think what could happen. It could be the model to happen more, because we always graduate. You know, every year, a few years, there's people graduating. And so maybe there could be more church plants happening just like this. We just encourage a few, move here, we're starting another church. And as people leave seminary, they can kind of come and partner with them. So our prayer request, if you go through a few specifics, would be, one, pray for our family, since we are expecting our, our second son and our second baby, second son in October. And so pray for just us, just wisdom to be parents, to do a good job, and for the health of Tara and the baby. And I mean, even in the chaos of all the stuff that happens with that, we really would appreciate you guys continue to pray for that part of life. Pray for the expansions with the new campuses to Purdue and Butler specifically. I'll be spending time at Butler and helping that go on. That definitely is a prayer request. We don't know what we're walking into. It's from the outside, it's a great campus, but from looking at IUPUI, we know that, and knowing from 1 Corinthians 1:27, you know, God chose the weak to shame the strong. God chose the foolish to shame the wise. Just because it's a great campus does not necessarily mean spiritual things happen there. And so, but we see opportunity, and we are excited to give our life and serve there, and at least take the gospel to the people, regardless of what's going to happen. So we do pray ask you to pray that God would stir up fertile soil for the gospel seeds that will be planted this fall. And then, if you would pray just for the new role as a transition for me, as I'm helping lead two movements and not just leading the same campus day in, day out, but helping these staff do this and still keeping my hands in the grassroots as they are. It's, you know, anytime your role changes, it takes a while to learn, you know, and there can be lots of opportunities to trip. And so we pray for wisdom to do that well, to continue to help shepherd that part of God's kingdom that he's put there with us. And then we would request that you pray for this whole church plant that's coming up. It's still a few months down the road, but all the pieces are coming in together now. And it's an exciting opportunity for what could come from that. And if you would be praying for that. You know, I tell students oftentimes, you know, do you know there are people that have never seen you that are praying for you? Do you know that there are churches that are praying for you that have never even been IUPUI? They laugh sometimes when they hear it because they don't know it, but they're praying for you. And it blows them away. You know, it's a perfect picture. Not perfect. It's a wonderful picture of the gospel and of the community that the gospel brings together, that we really do care for each other. We really do care for the fold, that we're brothers and sisters, though we're separated. You know, there's nothing geographically similar or even experientially similar other than Christ, but there's this partnership working together. So it's a picture of care, and it's a picture that it takes the body for anything to happen. You know, I've been, you know, called at this point to be the one there in the person proclaiming the gospel and teaching people, but I can't do what I'm doing. Just like the nose can't do what it's doing without the hands and the feet and everything else going on. And so I'm just one piece of that gospel puzzle as well. And so it's a great picture for them to know that people care, and knowing that the things going on in their life aren't just by circumstance. It's by prayer, God's plans. And so I wish I could express to you how thankful we are for you guys praying for us and being so supportive of us, but I can't. And so it's been fun to be able to actually be here and share with you guys a really quick picture of what's happened in 5 years. And so that's all I have. If you want to
stay there just for a little bit, you apologize for not being able. I think you've been great. The bad time you've had. And I was almost going to tongue in cheek say, you know, it's been a pretty boring 5 years for you.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah?
His master's work there.
Okay.
That's for later time. But well, I had several thoughts in my mind, but I wonder if any of you have questions that you'd like to throw at Patrick in light of what he's shared so far. Some of the people have already been on with Campus Outreach at Murray, so they kind of know the framework of that and how they on that campus. I marvel, Patrick, when you re-describe verbally a commuter campus, what a different setting, a totally different thing, and the challenge to try to connect with those students and do what you've done. That was just a real gracious work of God.
A great thing that's come out of it, though, is what's hard on the front end has become to our advantage on the back end, because it's a socially disconnected campus.
And so we've created the largest social group on the campus. And so not only is the largest social group on the campus, but it's one that's always intentionally trying to pull others in. And so we're a very attractive piece of the campus, where on most campuses, there's this social network and this social network, and the believers are just one of the many. On ours, it's this big light in the middle of the campus. Why do these people know everybody? Why are these people actually having fun together? I don't know anyone here. And so it actually pulls people in to the, you know, the fold to be exposed to gospel. We still have yet to see if they will respond to the gospel. But as far as being attracted to pull people around, it now it works to our advantage. So. Yeah, so they don't get fried when they get there. Yeah, it's neat to see how it's happened. So.
Questions?
Yeah. Down to Orlando? Yeah, so you're going down for that? Yeah. We're not on the same project, but I know they will take good care. Yeah. It's a pretty easy drive. It's just long. So. We're actually going to the wedding next Saturday, Mary Leslie's. I don't know if you're going to that or whatever, but no, yeah. So it's, and going to Purdue. You know that? Yeah. So. All right. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Patrick.
This is encouraging. It's given us all the more incentive to pray. I hope it has you. It certainly has me. To see a moment in time is one thing, but for someone who's invested this many years and now to see the work unfold and multiply and see it, it's all the more incentive to me to pray and to get behind people who obviously have a heart for the Lord and for sharing the gospel. You know, when Patrick and I were talking the other day and finalizing his time with us, I told him in part what I mentioned to you this morning, and that is that increasingly I'm convinced that not just campus work, but the core of what he is doing as a believer there and the core of what others as believers are doing in representing Jesus Christ and sharing his gospel is at the heart of the most important thing that's happening at this moment in history. There are lots of things. That may sound really strange to you in one sense. I don't know how it strikes you. But in light of eternity, in light of influencing people, it's the most important thing going on because hearts are being changed. Lives are being changed. And what you said at the outset, Patrick, about people who were passionate about doing anything, but they just didn't know where they were going. What a description of the world. And the fact that, no, here's the passion. And there's a very clear focus there. We have much to be thankful for in our own personal lives and in light of what you've shared tonight, much to be thankful for. And we are grateful to God for raising you both up and the blessings he's given to you. Let's close in prayer tonight and let's stand together as we do that. Would you join me? Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you've been pleased to bring us to faith in Christ. We thank you, Father, for the heart that you've given to Patrick and Tara that is a desire to reach out to others and how you've blessed this ministry in an unusual situation. But one that was not beyond you and beyond your grace, the many who have come to faith now, who are being built up and who are committing to walking with you. We pray, Father, that you would continue to protect and bless that work at IUPUI. The request that was made for Butler and Purdue University, we pray now, we join in the prayers for that expansion, that extension, that you would go before them and grant, Father, real favor and spiritual blessing in the hearts and lives of believers and non-believers alike who are there. Would you connect and bring about such a thing that it would be a great influence, a great light for Christ on those campuses also. Thank you for the family that you've blessed them with. We pray that as Tara and it goes toward her delivery date in October, that you would keep her safe and healthy, that you would keep the baby safe and healthy, that you would grant wisdom as they live together as husband and wife, as they raise one son and now await the second, and help them to balance their lives well and work together well in that. Thank you, Father, for this day that you've given us. As we go back to our homes now and as we step into a new week, we pray that you would help us to catch the same vision that you have expressed to us this evening, seeing the people around us not just as other Americans and short and tall and different races and all the rest, but to see them as souls who are made in your image and who need a Savior. And may we be faithful in living for you and sharing for you, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. God bless you. We're dismissed. Have a good week.